Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to all you dads. We're so glad you're here at Cathedral with us this morning. Have any of you guys been able to at least check out the car show on the way in? Yes? I'm not sure if it smells like exhaust fumes or testosterone or if that's the same smell, but it's okay. It's great. I've enjoyed that. We're so excited. Hey, if you would right now, take out your connection cards. Those are in the seat backs right in front of you. And this is the best way that we can stay connected with you guys. If you have prayer requests, we'd love to know about those. We've got an entire team that prays over those weekly and covers those. If you've got a prayer answered, we'd love to know about that. Any questions you guys have, or if it's your first time here, we would love to know about that. Just check the box on that card that says first time guest, fill out as much information as you feel comfortable with, and we'll place those in the offering in just a few minutes. Now, in that same vein, if you've got some questions or you're wondering what's coming up in the church or what about this ministry? What do you guys have available here? Or I've just got a question. Just come to the hub and see us. Every weekend, we've got staff and volunteers in the hub. It's right out here. It's the big wood wall right there. We would love to talk with you. We would love to connect with you. There's church calendars right on the wall so you can see everything going on. But there's always more going on than we can fit on the calendar. So please, if you've ever got any questions, please just come talk to us at the hub. We'd love to help you out. Also, make sure you're following us on social media. Like us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. That really is the best way to, in real time, keep up with what's going on from afar. And also, whenever you're here, make sure you check in. It's a great way to show your friends, hey, here's where I'm at. I love this place on the weekends. We are having a ball. That would be great. Now, you guys can go ahead and prepare to receive our offering, but as you guys are getting ready, and before we do that, in honor of Father's Day, I'd love to show you guys the story of one of our dads here at this church, of his journey with his tithes and offerings. Take a look. Let's pray before we receive our offering. God, thank you so much for stories like that. Countless stories of where you show up, of where you honor our faithfulness with our money. Thank you for the truth that when we do take that step of faith, we do land on you. You do catch us. You've got a plan for this. And that with your hand on it, the 90% that you leave us will go way further than the 100% if we kept it on our own. Thank you for your promises in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you as you give. If you were wondering, Manfest this weekend was named after Tanner's beard. He's kind of the inspiration for that. Tanner's fantastic. His family's awesome. Now, while you guys are giving, I would like to play a game with y'all. Is that okay? With everybody in here. Even if it's not okay, we're going to do it. So that's fine. That's completely okay. I like music. Obviously, I have the pleasure of getting to lead worship some weekends, and I love music. And I think it's really interesting. I think it tells you a lot about a person, kind of their taste in music and their favorite music. So what we've done is we've put together with three of the dads on staff here some of their favorite songs. Now, here's the three dads that we've put together. Mike Lewis, our pastor, we pulled some of his favorite songs. Luke Turner, who's our executive pastor on staff, he's married to Megan. He's Mike's son-in-law. And David Ammons, also one of Mike's son-in-law's, our guest services pastor. So the funny thing is they all have very, very in-depth choices of music all over the place. So here's what I'm going to do. I have like a little montage of like three songs, 30 seconds per person. I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to let you guys guess, but I'm going to go through all three. I'm not going to tell you who it is until the end so it doesn't give it away. Then we'll go back through, okay? All right, here is the first one. I'm a fan. Let you listen to the whole thing. Somebody's already guessing. Here. That's the first one. The second one. A little different. These are the same person. Same person. All. Okay, one more. Remember, this is all the same person. Okay, that's a good one. Who knows this song? Yes, it's so good. All right, what do you got? Who do you guys think that was? A lot of Lukes, a couple other ones. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to the second one. But I do know that I love you. Guess it already. You haven't even heard the other two. You never know. Oh man, y'all were quick. Uh-huh. May have just given it away. Oh, one more. Okay. Don't look at the front row at whose foot's tapping. That's cheating. Who? Take your guess. I'm not going to tell you, but guess. A lot of mics. Okay, okay. One more. Third one. This is Dave Matthews Band. First one. Second one. Okay. All right. All right. Somebody said Mike. Who said Mike? Somebody. This who knows this song? This is a good song. Yeah. So yeah. 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 That's scripture right there. Psalm 23. To look a lot like same category. This is all the same person. Promise you. Everywhere you go. And this isn't made up. This is real. Who do y'all think that was? Y'all know our people pretty good. All right, back to the first one. The first one was Sweet Home. I Saw the Light. And good old Hank Williams Jr. himself. Who did y'all guess? That is Luke Turner, our executive pastor. Good job. Luke's funny. He loves like outlaw country and bluegrass and like country rock. It's really fun. Like most of the time you go by his office, it's like sometimes there's a little bit of old like bluegrass hymns, or you just never know what you're gonna hear. It's good. Second one, well, I do know that Sam Cooke and Christmas and Dixie, and some Four Tops. Who'd y'all guess? That is Pastor Mike, and he was tapping his foot quite a bit with the Four Tops there. All right, last one. Dave Matthews, and I gotta just let this play for a second. This will get you ready. To get you ready, Gangsta's Paradise, and it's you can't forget Christmas music. Like Christmas. Who'd y'all guess for that? Dave. Y'all got it right. Dave Ammons. Good job. Something you'll notice about Dave, you're all going to listen for it. Now, Dave whistles all the time. He'll whistle a lot. 90% of the time, he's whistling a Christmas song, whether he knows it or not. He is whistling a Christmas song in the middle of summer. It's normally Christmas music, and he absolutely loves it. Those are three awesome dads. That was really fun. I enjoyed that. Thank y'all for playing. It was so good. All right. Now, before we start, I have one more. I have a video clip for you guys. And just in the spirit of the car show and a man fest and Father's Day and just grunts and testosterone and beards, I have a great video clip that's just going to get you ready for the service. Take a look at the screen.
After you've seen that clip, Dave Ammons really doesn't need an introduction because that is who he is right there. You just saw it. He does love a car. But you know that Dave started working here in the grounds department when he was 14 years old? You know, that's something now that he's 50, 60 years old. That's 16 years. Took a break, went to school, graduated from College of Charleston with his bachelor's in health and human performance. Have married to Macy, my daughter. They have one son. His name is Baylor Michael. Don't you love that middle name there, Baylor Michael? So, ladies and gentlemen, would you give Dave Ammons, my son-in-law, a very warm welcome, our speaker for today.
Thank you. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? It's good to see you guys. Y'all looking good? Y'all enjoy the car show out there so far? Yeah? I'm still trying to talk the guy who owns the Lamborghini that I need to borrow it for the weekend. He don't need it. He's got it all the time, right? Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to be up here with you this morning. And just to give you a little bit more insight into my life, into who I am, and because I'm up here, I get to do this. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to show you a few pictures of my family. Would that be all right? Yeah. Good. All right, let's bring up a picture. This is my family right here. This is Macy in the middle here that you see. She's also in the front row. She is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. She is an amazing woman, and she makes me a better man, father, dad every single day that we live together. We've been married for 8 years, and it has been some of the best years of our life. And so that is her. We have our boy Baylor right there. I mean, is he not stinking cute? I mean, come on. I mean, I know every parent thinks their kid is the most beautiful of all, but I don't think I'm lying. Dog, he's good. So that's him. These are the, let's say, tailored pictures, you know, the more photographer style pictures. Let's bring up what Baylor actually acts like. Okay, yeah, here we go. Here's his personality. All right, so down here we got, he decided to make his own snow angel out of baking soda one Christmas. So he blessed us with that. If you give him a bag of something, know that he is going to dump it out. That's just him. I came down one morning, and this is what he had gotten into. Macy had left a roll of paper out. He does love to help me with some laundry, and needless to say, he's an eater, and he loves his ice cream. So that's a little bit of his personality, and he is just the joy of my life. He absolutely rocks my world, and I never knew fatherhood could really be this fun. I think it's a tremendous blessing that we get to add that title to our life. Now, for many of you guys, y'all know when Macy and I just had Bailey, one of our goals was to, let's just go ahead and start a family. We wanted our children to be kind of close. And so we said, all right, we already got one. Might as well start this train. Let's go ahead and keep having them. Well, we quickly found out that we had a little bit of trouble in that department. So we've been launched on, for the last couple of years, this journey of infertility. Anybody who knows that journey knows that you got a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of shots, a lot of all kinds of stuff. And so for those of who have done ministry with me in the different ministries that I serve in, have been a part of that and have been praying for us and all that kind of stuff. And just to say thank you guys for being a part of our journey. And our God is a good God and He answers prayers, doesn't He? Absolutely. Well, I'd like to tell you that it worked and He answered prayers. We're officially pregnant. Yeah, absolutely. So here's a couple pictures. Going to the doctor, you can see our eggs down there and all that kind of stuff, some shots, all kinds of good. That is all the shots that you have to take during this whole process. And now when we started this whole thing out, you start out at the basic level, which is called IUIs. And we did a couple rounds of that. The first round didn't work. The second round actually was successful. But Macy kind of knew something wasn't 100% right. That actually ended up in a miscarriage a couple weeks later. And so after meeting with the doctor, he pretty much said, guys, I think with everything we have going on here, we need to set you guys down this road of IVF. And that's their big boy. I don't know all the terminology. But if you ever doubted God was in the process, go through this, and there is no way that anybody can go through this and say that we came from some dirty water or somehow lightning struck and it is too intricate of a process to know that God is in this process and He helps form each and every single one of us. It's absolutely incredible. But it worked. We're pregnant. There's the proof. Macy has taken about, I don't know, 30 of them. Every morning I have come down and she's like, babe, it got darker. It really is true. It's actually happening. So I think she started on day 2, something like that. Yeah, so we have maybe day 3, I'll give you that. But we have many of those in our house, and they don't go away. They actually stay on display because we're just that happy. Now, the doctor did give us a picture that I need your help out with kind of deciphering. So if you'll put that picture... Yeah, I think y'all are picking it up. Yeah, we got some twins on the way. Yeah, A and B right there. So if y'all ever doubted the power of prayer, y'all remember a couple weeks ago I came up here and told you that in this whole tithing process that God wants to overflow your storehouses? I got proof for you. I got proof. So I am going to ask you guys, since y'all are proven so successful at this whole prayer game, I'm going to do a simple ask. It worked. We're pregnant. We don't need that prayer anymore. I got enough in the hopper right now. So if you don't mind, let's shift our prayer tone just a little bit. And if you can pray for a healthy pregnancy for that mama right there. And if you can pray for our sanity, if you can give us extra energy, if you can give us extra grace, that'll be so much appreciated. So, but from the bottom of my heart, all of you guys who have been along our journey and have prayed for us to be able to come here, and some of you guys knew when it didn't work and all that kind of stuff, but y'all never let faith go. You stayed strong. You encouraged us like crazy, telling us that every step of the way that God is going to bring you guys a child. And so from our side, you just don't know what that did for us, the encouragement, the journeying together, the doing life together part. But thank you guys so much from the bottom of Macy and I's heart that we now get to say we are expecting. So thank you guys, all right? Yes, 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 yes. All right, just for kicks and giggles, because I'm interested. Let's see, if you are a dad, if you are a father, go ahead and stand on up. Let's see how many we got in the house this morning. Go ahead and stand on up. All right. Yeah, give them a hand. Fantastic. About half the crowd here. All right. Fantastic. Good job. Fantastic. All right. You can go ahead and take a seat. Well, like I said, I'm new to the father game, about 2 years in, but I am extremely just excited to be with you this morning, and specifically to talk around this topic of fatherhood. I think it's one of the greatest joys that we get as a dad. And so I'm excited to talk to you today about it. And what I've actually entitled the message today is this principle called Find a Father, Be a Father. Because I think deep down inside, and this just has played such an integral role in my life of how this has played out and how this has helped me. And so my hope and my joy today is that you leave hope-filled, filled with joy, feeling that you understand the significance of a father. And that is what we're going to have happen today. And so the way that I'd like to start out is this. I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to ask you the question of, what is your life story? We all have a life story, right? One of the things that I like to do on a weekend, or just kind of out anywhere, but when I'm out in the forest specifically, and I meet somebody for the first time, I ask them a series of questions, right? And I ask them, what is your life story? And I'll do different questions that kind of help me out with that. Where are you from? What brought you to Charleston? How'd you find out about Cathedral? If they're interested in ministry, I'm going to ask some specific questions about that. But my whole goal with that is I want to find out what matters to them. Because stories help us get a picture of who a person is. And maybe you do the same thing when you meet someone for the first time. The telling of our stories is kind of like an emotional connecting point for us, right? It bridges the gap between us. It helps us identify between each other. And it really just allows us to get a picture of what actually matters in somebody's life. And why is that? Stories just help some things come to life. They tell us who we are. They inspire us. They give us a picture of who we aspire to be. And that's just what stories do, because they are us. They give that to us. Now, if you're thinking in terms of just cold, hard facts or statistics, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Or pie charts, they simply just don't do the same thing for us. Now, don't get me wrong, if that's your business or you're in that game every day, they are important. They do give us just good information, but they're not the same as a story. A story helps something come to life. We want to feel what's going on in the story. We like drama. We want to see the pictures that somebody gives us because it helps that story come to life. And so they are just important to us. You know, every day we watch movies or we read novels, and we just want to get inspired. You know, every day we get around family and friends, right, who tell us stories that make us laugh. Every day we take out our phone to show pictures, much like I did on the big screen here, because it helps a story come to life. So let me ask you one more time. What is your life story? We all have it. And I'd love to sit down with each and every single one of you guys to hear your story. I'm telling you, one of the greatest things about my job is I get to talk with a lot of you guys out here on a weekend. And you guys, I'm telling you, you're incredible. You got some amazing stories of how you got here, your Christian journey, of what God's doing in your life, the things that He's doing in your life is absolutely incredible. You guys have an incredible story. But if I got a chance to sit down with each of you guys, it would sound a little bit like this. It would sound like you would tell me stories of just the most hilarious things, because we all have a little bit of comedy. There's also another side. We all have a little bit of tragedy in our life as well. And if I got a chance to sit down and talk, you would tell me all different kind of stories that tells me the wins, the losses, the ups and downs, and just all kind of different things that make us different. But I think deep down inside of every single one of us, specifically us dads, us men in the room, I think it's just how we're wired. But deep down, I think all of us want one thing, which is this. We want to know that our life matters, that we're making a difference in somebody's life, that we are actually leaving a legacy. How many of you guys, just raise your hands, how many of you guys have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? All right, fantastic. About half you guys. It's a story about a guy named George Bailey, and he wants to be a guy who just travels the world and builds great buildings, magnificent buildings, but who instead stays in a town called Bedford Falls, and he just does what he believes is right, helping other people. But there becomes a crisis point in the movie where he decides and says, you know what, I think this place would be better off if I simply did not exist. What he's essentially saying is that his life doesn't matter, okay? And there's a twist in the movie when, with the help of an angel, the angel allows him to see what this place would look like if he simply did not exist. And what he sees is that it becomes a very dark and negative place. Clarence, who's the angel in the movie, who tells him this quote, he says, every man's life touches so many other lives. And that is so true in each and every single one of our lives, and was true for George Bailey. And he got the unique opportunity where the angel showed him all kind of different ways that, yes, they may be small. Yes, he didn't think that they were doing much. But because he chose to do the right thing over and over and over again, he truly made a difference in this town. The town was uplifted. The people in his life were uplifted. And there was a positiveness that he imparted into this thing. He did the principle of what we're talking about today, which is he found fathers that inspired him. One of them in this movie was the angel, but he also was a father for so many people in the town, and that angel really helped him see that. There's a church out west who made a deal with Hallmark, and they wanted to basically just take all of the leftover cards that they had, if they had any, and disperse them to a prison. And what happened was they got thousands of cards, which was great. They took them to the prison, and literally within minutes, they were wiped out. They said, oh, man, we're fantastic. We're maybe onto something here. So fast forward, they did the same thing again. Father's Day rolls around. Same thing happens. They get thousands of cards. They go in there, and not a single one of them was taken. And so right there, they understood that something's up here. There's a problem here. Something's going on here. And as I was preparing this message for you guys, I started wrestling with that kind of a question, is why is fatherhood so hard? Why is there such an attack? You know, you say, Dave, you know what? I'm not really that fired up about Father's Day. My own story, it ain't the best. You know, I had this going on, or maybe I didn't have a dad at all. And so it can be tough. And so as I was thinking around this that particular question and just kind of grappling with it, I do feel like God revealed an answer to me. And for me, I felt like it was profound, but it was also very, very simple. This was his answer to me, which is one of the main goals of the enemy is to go after this relationship. Why? Because if he can go after this relationship, if he can go after and twist what that relationship is, if he can continually let you down and really change the perception of the greatness of what fatherhood could be, then he can possibly change your entire perception of what our outlook is to God, our Father, and which is his ultimate goal because he wants to keep us from salvation, right? That's his number one goal on this earth is how can I keep you from receiving Christ in your heart? And so he does this through fathering. You see, the devil can't steal your blessing, but what he can do is go after the way by which it comes. And I believe that's what he does specifically around this topic of fatherhood, is he goes after what your perception is, the grandeur of what he created this whole fatherhood and fathering principle to be in our lives and how much it can help us, how much we can restore a legacy, how much we can be significant in so many people's lives, and he uses it to go after this whole thing. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, which is how can we ensure our significance as a man, as a father, in this principle of finding a father and being a father. Now, before we do, I want to address one thing because it's one of the problems that prevent us from ever engaging in that type of principle, okay? It's this issue of a father wound, okay? We all have father wounds of some capacity. You have a father wound, I've had father wounds. And to set this up, and to stay also in the vein of Father's Day, right? We got some beautiful cars out there. What better than to pull a clip from Fast and the Furious, right? I think we can learn something there. Yeah? All right. So take a look at this clip real quick, and there you're going to see what this father wound looks like. So we all have father wounds. And this doesn't really come from your biological father. This can come from spiritual fathers as well. That's the way one of them happened for me, which was a guy who I tremendously look up to. And he said some things to me that really took me off guard, behind my back, the whole nine yards, and it hurt my feelings. It ended up becoming a father wound for me. And I had to allow God to heal me of that father wound for me, because if I did not, then there's going to be a whole thing of, like I described before, where the enemy can kind of get in and start you down this rabbit trail that just prevents you from being all that we can be as dads, being all that we can be as men, and having the importance of pouring into people's lives. And so there's a book by John Eldridge called Wild at Heart, which if you're out here and you have a son or a boy that you are raising and you have not read this book, I strongly encourage you to do so. Us guys are wired in a certain way. And if you have boys, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We go 100 miles an hour. We like to throw things, break things, all kinds of different stuff. And so this book talks about how do we take a boy and raise him as a man where we don't change the way that God designed us, but we harness it, and how do we go after it in a direction that is God-honoring and not in a destructive path. But in the book, he talks about this father wound, and he says this about it. He says, when this happens in somebody's life, it comes out in mainly two different ways, and by and large, this is what we see as men and fathers in our society, okay? But he says that you become a poser of sorts. First type of poser is this overly passive type of man, and this is the man that you can take a look at their family, and the mom probably does most of the things from the work, the taking care of the house, the bills, the getting to church, all this kind of stuff. They're the ones who are driving the thing. And they're the type of dad that typically you could say, well, he's really good at the remote. I've seen him do that at least, you know, right? You got the second kind of poser who is this overly aggressive, who is this macho, I will take you out right now. I'm talking to you. No, I'm just kidding. But it's this overly aggressive type of dad. And what ends up happening is they're posing for something that is actually missing in their life, okay? Last week. I think it was last week when you did this. Mr. Mike told the story of Jacob and Esau. And if you remember that story in the Old Testament, it's a story where Jacob was the favorite of the mother, and Esau was the firstborn and was getting the blessing of the dad. And this sets up what this father wound really does in us, and it literally says that Jacob put on animal skin to pose as his brother. Remember, posing, this whole father wound is we're posing for something that is missing. He wanted to deceive his father to get the blessing, and so he literally posed as something different to get what he wanted. And that didn't really end up working out too well for him. And so there is something that's missing that we need to allow us to heal. You say, well, Dave, what do we do about this? All right, let's bring up a verse in James chapter 5 that helps us understand what we're going to do about it. Read the last two words, everybody aloud right now. Last two words, what does it say? Be healed, absolutely. We need to be healed of this father wound so that we can be everything that God wants us to be, have the purpose that he has put on our life. Be able to engage in this principle of finding a father and being a father. But how do we do that, Dave? All right, let's go to the top of the verse. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Now, you notice it doesn't say to God. This is a me and you kind of a thing. If we want forgiveness, that's what we take to God. But if we want to be healed, just like it's saying here, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. So if you need healing, right, there's the recipe, all right? That's why a lot of times you will see out here, and from the stage, a lot of times we will push, get involved in a small group. Go after and get involved in any kind of ministry, whatever matches your DNA. But this is the purpose of why we do that kind of a thing, is because you have a group of people that you can begin to do life with. You can pull back whatever that mask is and learn from people. You can put in there and say, you know what? Hey, guess what? Hey, I'm dealing with this. Hey, didn't I see that you actually dealt with this? Didn't you mention this last week? Hey, I'd love to sit down with you, and if you could give me any advice of how to deal with this situation. But it begins this process of the ability to know people, trust people enough where we can start finding fathers. Yes, we may have not had the best family. Yes, we may have had an absent dad or whatever the case may be. Whatever your story is, you are the author of it now. And there's things set in place that you can become the author and rewrite what your story is. And one of the ways is through this, where you can get involved and have a group of people to do life with who you can learn and grow from. Okay, personal story. Macy and I are getting ready to have twins, right? You think we have a few things to learn? Yeah. But what I do know is there is a few folks out here who I have looked at and said, you know what? Not only do they have twins, but they have a fantastic family. They are successful at this thing. Hey, man, is it okay if I sit down with you and I got a few things to learn? I'd love to learn from you. Because how do I get them on a feeding schedule? I don't have to feed them. I mean, she does. But how does she get on a feeding schedule? And how do we get them sleeping at the same time? Because Lord knows already he had no sleep with the first one. So how do we do this thing? There's things that we're going to learn that in the process of me finding fathers to help me along this journey is just absolutely vital. There's other things like in 2 to 3 weeks, we have our first look. And so there's a way that you can get involved and find the ministry that is right for you so you can get in a group and find a group of people that they can begin to do life with you together, okay? All right, prove it, Dave. Fantastic. Bring up Psalm 68, and let's see what God has for us, all right? Psalm 68 says this. He says, God is a father to the who? Fatherless. All right, right there we have a condition, right? All over this nation, all over this world, really, we have this overriding thing of fatherlessness. Now, I'm not going to go down the long list of statistics that are out there that really, in all honesty, is just straight up depressing, right? But it is true. We have this condition. And God's not going to give us a condition without telling us what to do about it, all right? So let's continue to read and let's see what he says. He says this. He's also the defender of widows, and he is sitting in his holy place. This is what it is. Listen up. God sets the lonely in small groups, ministries, church, spiritual fathers, spiritual families. And that's the heart of our God. Our Father in heaven doesn't want us to be fatherless. He wants us to be fatherful. And this is kind of an extreme example and a really cute video. But I can't think of a better way for us to get a glimpse of our Father's heart, of his desire to not for us to not be fatherless, but to be fatherful. Take a look real quick. Isn't that great? I'm telling you right now. So in ending here this morning, you see the principle of this whole part about finding a father, but I don't want you guys just to stop right there. I want you to do the second part of this equation, which is being a father, okay? So what does that look like, Dave? That looks like instead of us just attending the small group or getting involved in ministry, now we become a leader of a small group. I'd encourage you to be the leader of a group of 8 and 9-year-old boys who you become the guy that they talk about in 20 years. Hey, do you remember that? You remember that guy? Gosh, he was always so exciting. He listened to us every single week. Hey, do you remember when he did this? God, he was so much fun. Be the guy that they talk about in 20 years. Find a father, be a father. And I'm telling you right now, if you submit to this kind of a principle, this is not something that in one day or 2 days or three, you're going to see this life-changing thing. This is more of a principle that is in your life day in and day out. And I guarantee you 6 months down the road, a year down the road, your life 100% will be forever changed. You see, each and every single one of you are valuable. Each and every single one of you do have a purpose. God cares deeply about you. And as I close here, they're going to bring up a verse from James chapter 1 because I think it'd just be neat to know exactly what God thinks about every single one of us. All right? It says, He chooses to give birth to us by giving us his true word, being Jesus. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Now, when I hear this thing of out of all creation, if you were here for Easter, Eddie does such a phenomenal job of setting up the vastness of our creation, all the waterfalls, the awesome animals that are in this earth, and all the crazy things that we call creation. Out of everything on this earth, even the beautiful cars that are created that are out there for us today, out of everything, we are his prized possession. Now, if you're my prized possession, I care a lot about you. And the same thing is true with him. He cares deeply for us. And he wants a relationship with every single one of us. He doesn't want you to be fatherless. So if you're out there and you feel like that is you, or you don't have the best, or whatever the case may be, you may have the best and you want to go to even greater heights. Well, fantastic. That is the goal of our Father. You see, he doesn't really care about our religion. He wants our relationship. Which is why this morning, one of the first things I did this morning, I said, "Good morning, Lord. Happy Father's Day. I love you and I appreciate everything that you've done in my life. Thank you for giving me the spiritual fathers that are in my life, because without them, I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't be anywhere near the man that I am today. So I'm so thankful for my physical dad who is in here the service this morning, who did an absolutely incredible job. But my spiritual fathers as well, I couldn't have done it without them. And so I'm so thankful." So you receive that today, church? Absolutely, absolutely. Let's bow our heads and we'll close in prayer. I want everybody to just get real still and just listen to me real quick, because I think some of us need to make a decision today. You know, some of us are sitting out here and you may have identified with me in terms of this father wound. Maybe it is a part of your story. If we go by statistics, it's a lot of y'all's stories. And if you're in here this morning and you say, "You know what, God, I'd love to deal with this thing. I need to be forgiven of this father wound." That may be you here this morning. You may also be out here and you say, "You know what, I really identify with this whole find a father, be a father principle, and I'd love to make that a part of my everyday living." And so if that's you this morning and you say, "You know what, I am going to commit, I'm going to be courageous, and I'm going to make that choice this year. And I'm going to go after finding people, finding spiritual dads that can put into me, that can tell me my value as a dad." And I'm not just going to stop there, but I'm going to be even more courageous, and I'm going to be a father. I'm going to help somebody this year and make a difference in their lives. I'm going to help them. They may be fatherless, not anymore. But I'm going to get involved in that small group. I'm going to get involved in that ministry. I'm going to help those kids in the children's ministry. And I am going to be the guy that they talk about in 20 years. Lord, help me be a father. And as a dad and as a man, you know, one of the things that we love to do, let me speak directly to you. If somebody presents me a problem, as a man, I want to do something about it. I want to fix it. So if that's you this morning, I want you to go ahead and raise your hand, because I'm going to pray over you. And we're going to make this year different. If that's you, raise your hand right now. Yeah, good. All over. This is fantastic. God's doing a good work in you men this morning. That's fantastic. Thank you, God. Good. All right, let's pray over this real quick. Lord, thank you so much for this amazing day that we get to celebrate the greatness of fatherhood. And Lord, right now, I just pray over the group of men that are making the bold and courageous decision that they are going to be significant. They are going to be great. They are going to have a legacy that will forever change people in and around their lives. And so, Father, right now, if you're addressing this father wound, and that's you this morning, Lord, I just ask that you just touch them right there. They want forgiveness and they want healing, Father. So I just ask that you know their story better than anybody. I just ask that you just give them a touch now, right now, and let them feel it. And if they're addressing this whole thing of finding a father and being a father, and they want to make this the principle in their life, Lord, just give them the strength, give them the courage. But not only that, Lord, I just ask that you place people in their life, good spiritual fathers that can impart into them, that can help them to go from fatherlessness to father fullness. And I just ask that you instore that into their life this morning, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good job, Dave.
Thank you.
Very good job. I know you good enough, Dave, as a person to know that you take great delight with your athletic abilities.
Yeah.
And so
we're doing something right now?
When you do a save, it really excites you.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And you were telling me about a save the other day. Would you mind sharing that story with them?
With Baylor?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Oh, you know what? I got a video, a fantastic video. Okay, so the other day, Baylor, you know, when I walk in the door, Baylor knows it's playtime. And his popular line, as soon as I crack the door, he goes, outside? Outside? Which was great when it was 70 degrees, but now that it's like 112, I'm like, okay, we got to get some new activities here. But anyways, we come home, and this particular day, I was kind of tired. We got in there, I said, not right now, let's just take a break. So I laid on the ground. When I lay on the ground, apparently that is code for Baylor that it's like roughhouse time, and I'm going to crawl over daddy and just have all this kind of fun. I see a lot of head nodding from some guys that you got the same thing going on. So he gets on my back, and he stands up, and I'm nervous. He starts to do this little dance thing that he does, and I feel like he's going to fall. So what my goal is I'm going to take his hand, and we're right next to a coffee table. I'm gonna place it there just to increase some stability, right? Well, I don't know what gives you these premonitions, especially as dads. I think they happen all the time. But as I'm reaching to do this, I have this premonition that he's going to fall this way. And so before I realize it, I go, I put my hand out and catch his face in my hand this far away from the ground. Now, as a dad, that's daggone cool. I mean, you're so proud. So naturally, the next place I look, I want to see if Macy saw this. I look over at her, and she's like this on the couch. Babe, look at this. You missed my dad save right here. So I did forget to do this in the beginning, so I appreciate you bringing this up. But us dads do some really cool things, right? Chris Profrater, who's our videographer here, we've all seen different clips around the internet and on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. Well, he took a bunch of them and put them together for us. Take a look at this quick video. It's pretty neat. Pretty cool. So let me bless you. If you stand with us real quick this morning, I bless you with the awareness that you are phenomenal. God has called you to be great and to do great things and to be great dads. So I bless you with the awareness that go into your calling. Go after the things that God puts you on and go after the people that are in your lives because you, every single one of you in this room this morning, are called for greatness. And I hope you enjoy a day that we get to call Father's Day and is our title. No greater joy than to be called a dad. And as a gift to you, if you did not have a chance to go see those amazing cars, I'm going to go spend some time out there and rev some engines. If that's okay with you, let's go enjoy some time together, all right? Happy Father's Day. Thank you guys so much.